Hey everyone, welcome back to Connecting Women in Insurance. If you haven't joined us before, this is a podcast celebrating the extraordinary women in the insurance industry. Today, I am so happy to introduce Ms. Penelope Limry, CEO of Limry Connects Recruiting and Consulting. Hey Penelope, how are you?
Hey Julie, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, tell me a little bit about what you do and about yourself.
Sure. I am Penelope Limry, CEO of Limry Connects Recruiting and Consulting. My partner and I run this business. It's a boutique recruiting firm, and we are nationwide, hopefully international soon, and we offer all types of services. I actually live right at the Appalachian Trail, the start of the Appalachian Trail in the Georgia Mountains. So my days are filled with Zoom calls, working, talking to people while overlooking the bears, the fox, the eagles, and the deer that runs through my yard every day.
How lovely. I would not be able to stay inside. Not at all.
Sometimes I take the calls out on the deck and just watch the nature unfold decides to do.
I bet that is awesome.
It really helps disconnect, decompress, and make me realize what's important. It grounds me every day. Mm-hmm. It was the best decision I ever made moving up here.
Oh, yeah. And that kind of atmosphere actually helps you be more creative and productive.
Oh, 100%. And if I have time during the day where I'm not on a call or the computer, I'll take my dog for a hike. We have about 25 miles of hiking trails around here. Nice. So I can easily just decompress for a 30-minute hike by a babbling brook or a waterfall or some really neat aspect just in nature that I can just take my dogs and walk through them.
I'm going to have to pack my computer and come work for a week with you.
Yeah, anytime. You're more than welcome.
Oh, Lord, that sounds wonderful. Well, tell me, how did you get into the insurance industry? Is that something you always wanted to do, or did you kind of stumble upon it?
So there are very few people that I have ever met that said, I want to get into insurance and especially claims, right?
Correct.
So I was not one of those very few people. I have heard there are some people that go and get a degree in it. They usually have a family member, and that's how they even are introduced to it. But that was not me.
Right.
I was actually a Class C private investigator down in Florida. I was in Fort Lauderdale, and my next door neighbor was an ex-homicide detective from Metro Dade. And he had his own private investigation company. And when I turned 21, he asked me if I wanted to come work for him. And I did everything from undercover work to surveillances for work comp to running errands and doing little things, interviews, statements at the county jail, different things like that.
That would be so interesting.
Yeah, with that background, that's what kind of led me into the insurance world.
Okay.
Because I had quite frankly never heard of it before until I started doing surveillances for work comp and different things like that.
Nice. So what was one of your most interesting cases? Or can you talk about it?
Oh, yeah, I can talk about it. One of my favorite ones that I did, one of the best surveillances, and remember, this is in Miami in the sweltering heat. We had cell phones back then, but not many computers. We did not have iPhones or anything.
Right. So I remember those.
I would use CDs to listen to books on tape type thing. yes, I had a Tupperware in my back seat for those emergencies.
Right.
That, you know, all the glamour of a surveillance. But I would maybe spend, you know, 12 hours in a car. In the hot sun. Oof. And maybe get an hour's worth of video. One of the best ones I got, it really helped the case tremendously. It was a work comp claim. And the guy was claiming that he was hurt, had an injury. He couldn't walk. there were a lot of people that had done surveillances on him in the past, and he had a cane and would be hunched over and was physically disabled on all these other tapes. Well, I did a little research, mm-hmm. and I followed him one day. He went to the bowling alley. Not only did he proceed to bowl, he entered a championship and ended up coming up in first place. That was his little side hustle. And I ended up getting everything on film. And thankfully, it was inside the bowling alley. So it was air conditioned instead of being in my car in 100 degree heat.
Oh my goodness.
That's kind of what got me into, oh, this could be really interesting. Also going to the jails, taking a lot of recorded statements, mm-hmm. Everything just seemed to align. I didn't know it then,
right?
But it seemed to align with being a claims adjuster in the industry, which is how I got my first job in the industry.
So talk about that. Where did you, after you left there and you went into the claims industry, did you go? What did you do?
So I was in Florida at the time, mm-hmm. and I moved back to Texas, and I was an office manager at a litigation firm and really enjoyed what I was doing. The Hartford was in that same building,
uh-huh.
and I ended up meeting some people at the Hartford, ended up talking to somebody's boss. And the next thing I know, they wanted me to fill out an application and take the employee assessment that uh-huh. they required everybody to take. And I figured, what the heck? You know, I already had a job, but I wasn't, you know, that wasn't my passion. So I decided to go ahead and do it. I did well on the employee assessment, did well in what was supposedly the interview that I didn't realize was an interview. I thought it was a conversation. And they offered me $10,000 more than I was making. And I said, you know, what the heck? This seems like a new opportunity. Benefits were great. There was a path forward. There was a lot of opportunity as a female in mm-hmm. the industry. And I just took the leap. And the next thing you know, 10 years later, I was still at Hartford Insurance.
Did you just work claims, or was there something specific you did in the claims department? Or
yeah, so I started off as an auto PD claims adjuster, mm-hmm. which anybody will tell you is very difficult. So people just getting into accidents left and right in Houston. So it was kind of chaos. About a year later, I decided I wanted to get closer back to family in mm-hmm. Florida. And so the work comp office had an opening as a work comp adjuster. They had me interview and transferred me over to the Orlando office for Hartford. And about a year and a half in, I decided I really wanted to get on the operational side of claims, not uh-huh. just adjusting the claims.
Right.
And I begged my boss for this job. It was a team lead position over operations. So call centers, admin, ops, all these different things.
Right.
And I was very young. I was in my 20s. I remember specifically that the one reason why they told me that they weren't going to give me the position was because I didn't have a bachelor's degree. And I said, okay, if I make you a deal, I had an associate's degree, I didn't have a bachelor's degree at the time. So I said, if I go back and get my bachelor's degree, can I have the job if I commit to that? And they took a chance on me. They said, yes, they paid for my bachelor's degree.
Nice.
Which was an amazing perk of these insurance carriers that a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
I highly recommend. And sure enough, I not only went back to school, I had my first leadership job, and it all just kind of came together, and I might never would have gotten my bachelor's degree if it wasn't because of that. And my education is something that I will always have and be very proud of to this day.
Oh, wow. So after that, where did it kind of lead you?
So I did operations for a while. I actually helped move the office from one location to the other, got involved in helping design the building, making sure for Sarbanes-Oxley that everything was compliant, the check room, helping with the furniture. We actually went paperless and moved all the files from physical files that we used to have on everything to paperless. That was unbelievably difficult back in the day, but we did it. And the next thing I know, I got a call from the Tampa office asking me to come over for an operations position for property and casualty side of things.
Okay.
So I debated for a while. I really liked my position in Orlando. I was on the work comp side. I really liked what I was doing, but it was a great opportunity to learn more things about the industry. I'd already done the auto property damage. I'd already done the work comp, the operations. So I took the leap and went into property and casualty, and I've been in that ever since in property casualty operations. I was with Hartford for over a decade, and I truly thought I would retire there. And unfortunately, they were closing down our portion of the office. They gave me an option to move to Farmington, Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut, Syracuse, Illinois. I'm sorry, Syracuse, New York, or Aurora, Illinois. And I just liked Florida too much at the time. I decided I had just moved over to Tampa not too long ago. I really wanted to stay in Florida.
Right.
And I made a decision that maybe I will regret to this day, but I decided to go ahead and leave. At that point, I'd been there for over a decade. And when one door closes, boy, another door opens. That was 2009. And in 2009, that is when I went, I was a claims liaison for Universal North America and their TPA ISAC.
Okay.
And I kind of bridged the gap and brought everybody together and did a lot of reports, started a vendor management program. And that is when I have met people that I'm still friends with today. I never knew leaving something like the Hartford, where I was so safe and cozy and quite frankly, very comfortable.
Right.
Being moved into this position where I was encouraged, not only encouraged, that was part of my job, was to get to know the vendors, get to know the services, communicate with them, go visit their offices, create a vendor program. Back in the day, they didn't have all of that.
Right.
And some of the people that I met then are some of the closest people in my life today. And I will always be so incredibly grateful for that transition.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So did you, so when did you transition into what you're now doing?
So from that was, we knew that was only going to be about 2 years because Universal North America then at that point was bringing everything in house. So the next thing I know, I was invited to come spend the day with the VP of claims at American Strategic Insurance, which I will go on record to this day, that was the best company I have ever worked for in my life. They truly cared about the employees. They gave back to the employees.
Nice.
And I also had one of the best bosses that I ever had in my life. Tony Scognamiglio was his name, and I definitely did not agree with him on everything. And that's what the beautiful part was.
Right.
He allowed me to speak my mind, kind of broke me of the corporate mentality and not being so much of a yes person.
Right.
To really challenging my thoughts. Well, why do you think that? Why do you agree with me? Why do you disagree with me?
Mm-hmm.
And really challenged my mind and my thoughts. And I started taking a lot of those things that he taught me personally into my personal life, not just my professional life, but also my personal life. I started going to different conferences just for myself personally.
Nice.
Some of them would try to help me be a better leader. Some of it would try and figure out what my passions were, what sparked me, what drained me, what energized me.
Mm-hmm.
And it really put me on this path to know that I didn't want to be in the same situation that I was in and working for the same job that I was working in 20 years.
Right.
I wanted to see what my potential was. I wanted to see if I could run my own business. I had certain things that I wanted to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was truly helping people. It was, you know, getting somebody who might have been a single mother with three kids a job that was able to work from home, making $10,000 more. I mean, things that would really be life-changing and really important. So I decided it had been 20 years on the corporate side of claims. And if I didn't do this now, I was never going to do it. So in August 2017, I decided to dip my toe in the pool and start my own foray into the recruiting world. And nice. It was just me. I didn't know what I was doing. I used all of my operational background. I used all my networking, mm-hmm. all my technical capabilities. And Julie, there were times that I would wake up paralyzed with fear
mm-hmm.
because there was no steady paycheck.
Right.
There was no security. There was no team. I've always had brilliant, brilliant people on my team. And I've always tried to surround myself with really good, brilliant people on my team. Because if I'm the smartest person in the room, good luck, because that's not going to get me anywhere.
Right.
But I had people that really challenged me, that made me really think, that were polar opposite of me. And that's what I love.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden I found myself, I didn't have 80 people surrounding me. I didn't have people to ask questions to. I was alone. It was make it or break it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't do it, I was going to be a failure. And I would then have to go back to corporate and with my tail between my legs. And I really, really wanted to make a difference in life. I really wanted to help people. And I really wanted to see if I could reach my potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started Limerie Connects and held on for the ride. Thankfully, Harvey and Irma had both hit at the same time. So there was a natural progression of people and relationships that I had in the industry of people calling me to see if I could place people for them.
Nice.
And adjusters that needed jobs or wanted to have some life-changing temp positions for their families. Mm-hmm. And I was able to connect everybody, hence the Limerie Connects.
Yeah.
And 8 years later, not only am I still doing it, but I have an amazing partner, Malaika Katke. She came on board about a year and a half, 2 years ago now. I can't even keep up. Her and I are polar opposites. Like I said, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. And we really work so well together. And one of our things that we really want to do is be a safe space for people to come to, whether it's employees or companies, where we can help them, we can walk them through things, we can get them back on track. You know, a lot of people that come to us, you know, they've gone through really big things in life. They might have just been let go.
Mm.
They might not be able to support their family. They might have been laid off somehow. They might have had a really bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've had, Malaika and I have had people crying, people angry. We're kind of therapists or counselors.
Yeah.
And we try to take them from one end of the spectrum to the other and let them know that, hey, we're part of your team. We're going to help you. we're going to find the perfect fit for you. Mm-hmm. Not only the perfect fit for the company, but we want the company to come back to us and say, hey, this is the best candidate you've ever given us. They've been promoted a million times. And we only want to come back to you because you do such a good job in matching our culture along with the technical abilities. But we also want our employees that we're placing at the companies to say, thank you so much. I want them, you know,
right,
when they run up to me at a conference and say, thank you so much. This was the best job I ever had. I've been promoted a million times. I love this company. Now they're promoted into a decision maker where they can use us because they've had such good experience with us. That's what we want to be able to do.
That is amazing.
Provide that safe space and take care of people and help people and bring people into the industry.
That is extraordinary.
Kudos
to you. So you made a comment how there were nights that you were just kind of gripped with fear. What did you tell yourself to make it through the night? No, I mean, I'm being serious because we've all been there and I've been there and it's...
People don't talk about it.
No, I mean, they don't and they should. I'll talk about it, but I mean, because I know in personal experiences, just personal life, things happen and you just, you're like, I don't know what to do or what if this doesn't work? Well... Like for me, I just have to say, well, you know, it's just not the end of the world. You know, if you have to start over in something different, you just start over in something different. Just breathe through it. You know, I have to make myself step back and almost remove myself from the situation and look at it from other perspectives. And a lot of times, every time one of those perspectives has my mother's voice. And, but she's always given me good advice. Well, Julie, you know, look at it from this point of view or this point of view. So what did you do?
So there's two things I want to address with that. The first is facts. Every single time something horrible, traumatic, or devastating has happened to me in my life, whether it's been a death, a divorce, losing my job, whatever it is, you know, you can apply it to everything. When I take space and look back, it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was on my path to get me to that next level, that next chapter, that next season, whatever it was. It taught me something. I think a lot of people go through things and they just get busy. I've done that before where you just get busy. So it distracts you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really get into the feels.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I so upset? I remember when the whole situation happened with Hartford, I thought I was going to be retiring from there. I had done well and I thought that was my life. And I realized that was my whole life.
Right.
I didn't have anything outside of that. I had some friends and I was married, but I didn't have a hobby. I didn't do things that fulfilled me or brought me joy.
Mm-hmm.
I did not volunteer. I wasn't of service to my community. I didn't have a passion, and that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because it really made me think, what do I want from here on out? What do I want to get involved in? What do I love? What do I want to do? What is my hobby? And I slowly started realizing that I needed to establish who I am versus what people wanted from me.
Right.
And it took a long time. Now you ask me, oh, what are your hobbies? What are you passionate about? What do you do? Who's Penelope Lemery? Well, that's easy. I got involved with rescuing animals, fostering, and I started a a big Santa Paws event with a bunch of other OGs that are just phenomenal people in the industry. We started it initially about 12 years ago, and we've done the official Santa Paws probably for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years. And we give back to the community with the blessings that we have.
I love it.
And we get dogs and cats adopted. We raise $15,000, $17,000 for a local animal rescue in Tampa. You know, these are my passions. My hobbies, I started reading again. I started a book club. I love to go hiking. I love nature. I love to travel. You know, I really started doing things for me outside of work, because work is so much of our identity. When that's taken away from you, you're left on the floor in tears, because you just don't know where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and who you are anymore, mm-hmm. especially at that age, because that's your identity. So really discovering that everything that ever happened to me ended up being a blessing, feeling the feels, getting into it, not putting the Band-Aid on it,
right.
Really digging in why. There's a reason and a season for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realize it's supposed to get us to that next level, that next chapter, that next season. The second thing is fear. Every time fear kept creeping up inside of me, I mean, I am a very positive, optimistic, happy person.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that knows me will tell you I usually have a smile on my face, and I usually see the best in everybody. That's, maybe it's rose-colored glasses, but that's just how I choose to go through life.
Right.
I was waking up in fear, paralyzed with fear, where I didn't know if I could get out of bed some mornings. Other mornings, no problem. I'd get it. I'd hit it. I would tackle the world.
Right.
And that's usually how I am. But when I started this company, there were so many days where I'm like, what did I do? Should I just go back to a steady paycheck? Is it safe? Is it secure? And what you realize is nothing's safe and secure. It's
exactly.
Always a reason and a season, right? So I would swallow that fear. And every time I started feeling that way, I would start some different practices. I would do some affirmations. I would do prayers. I would do meditations. I'm really, really big at meditating every morning. Anybody that travels with me in the industry will tell you I have to have my morning meditation. Otherwise, I'm not the happy-go-lucky Penelope. And so all of these things are tools in my toolbox that would help me get one foot out of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I realized I felt fear, if I leaned into fear, it always worked out. It's when I was stopped by fear
mm-hmm.
that I questioned myself. I resented myself for not doing it. And it would just grow into something bigger and bigger. If I tackled my fear and if I leaned into my fear, I realized it was something that I could squash,
mm-hmm.
something I could learn, something I could overcome, or maybe I just needed to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And then that fear dissipated.
Oh, yeah. And I think you make a good point about when the job is gone, who are you? Because you get so
yeah.
involved in it. And for me, it was when my girls were grown, who am I? You know what I'm saying? So I get
yeah.
that. I get that on a different level, but it's the same thing. And you're just like, I don't know what I like. I don't know what I enjoy. I've done carpool
so
for 87 years.
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get it. All right, so let me ask you this. And you've kind of answered it a little bit, but maybe you have a specific one. Did you ever make a mistake or a decision in your career and thought, well, I'm just going to have to pack up and that's it. I'm fired. I'm whatever. But that lesson was turned into something very valuable that helped you later in your career.
Yeah, great question. When did I not make mistakes? You can't be human and not make mistakes. I think when I got into my 40s, I realized every mistake I made was better than a success because it taught me so much.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a mistake, all the several mistakes that I made, listen, there are things that still keep me up at night, how I reacted to certain things, decisions that I made, strategic visions. You know, one of the biggest things that I regret,
mm-hmm.
and that I have definitely learned, it was a mistake that I kept repeating and repeating throughout my career and also through my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not standing up for myself.
There you go. I get that one.
That is the biggest regret and the biggest mistakes that I have made throughout my life. And there are several times I wish I could have gone back that I would have stood my ground
mm-hmm.
and stood up for myself. And I don't know where that would have led me, but I started doing it when I started Limerie Connects.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes down to right or wrong, integrity and ethics.
Right.
And that is something that I feel very strongly about now. And I have stood up for myself.
That's awesome.
And there's nothing that compares when you're secure in your belief and mm-hmm. yourself, that you have the confidence not only to stand up for yourself, but to stand up for others.
Mm-hmm.
I was always really, really good at standing up for my team, mm-hmm. my leaders, my people. I would go to bat for them. I would stand up for them. But standing up for myself, it was a whole other story.
I
don't necessarily know why. I don't know if it's because I never stood up for myself from my childhood. I don't know if it's because I was a people pleaser, if I just wanted to be a yes person. But now I stand up for myself. And I think you can stand up for yourself in a professional, kind, loving manner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to curse. You don't have to yell. You don't have to scream.
I agree.
And I have had people in very big positions do all of that mm-hmm. over the years. And I never wanted to lead from a fear base. I always wanted to lead with love and mm-hmm. compassion and kindness. And I think you can get your point across and you can stand up for yourself in a way where the delivery really is profound to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you scream, curse, or yell, whatever it is, they're just going to be defensive back with you. They're not going to understand and learn. I always believe there's a way where you can communicate. Do I fall off the rails sometimes and I'm not proud of my reaction? Absolutely. We're human. That's right. Going to happen. But I feel like the biggest thing I can do is control the reaction mm-hmm. to where when I walk away, I'm very proud of the way I handle it. I didn't lose my cool, but I got my point across.
Right. And you know, when you have to scream and curse and carry on like that, that's basically bullying, and you don't yeah. earn respect. People ignore that. You know, my daughters told me one time, we were talking about, they were at school and we were talking about the couple of substitute teachers, and nothing bad, but they were like, well, they didn't particularly care for this one. And, you know, they're like, oh man, I would rather have so-and-so. And I'm like, well, I thought she was real mean or something. And they're like, oh no, she's not. She's very, she's strict. You had to follow the rules or whatever, but she never screams or hollers, and she means what she says. And I said, well, what's with the other one? She said, oh, she just screams and hollers and the kids just do what they want anyway. And I said, and I just looked at him. I said, well, what's the difference? And they said, well, if you're an adult and you have to scream and holler at the kids, then you already don't have control. And you don't have any respect. And it stopped me in my tracks. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you go to Walmart, you look at the people around you very differently after that comment. Like, you're just like, they're not wrong. But for my girls who were at the time, like 11 and 12 or 11 and 13, that's a very, adult observation. Kids will notice things and put you in your place real quick. And they're not being rude or disrespectful. It's just they see it how it really is when we don't want to. But I agree with you. I think we are conditioned from a young age to follow the rules, to do what everybody says, to walk in the straight line, to do this, don't speak up, don't say anything, dot your I's, cross your T, blah, blah, blah. That has its place to a point. But I think, yeah, you should. And it's taken me a long time. And I agree. It's one of those things. But when you finally do it and you won't compromise on that anymore, there's a freedom in that. It is very empowering. And, you know, so I wouldn't regret not doing it because, you know, it happened, but you learned from it. And the fact that you learned from it, there's nothing to regret. You know what I mean?
I think the lesson is very clear. I mean, your girl said that. Mm-hmm. And whenever you're talking or trying to get a point across to kids or animals, even since I don't have kids, just the animals, mm-hmm. if I yell and scream at them, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to look at me and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. They will.
I am calm, clear, firm, and direct. Mm-hmm. Without getting so emotional and over the top, mm-hmm. that's when my point gets across and they'll actually listen. You never want to put somebody back into a corner mm-hmm. where they're coming out swinging or they're defensive right. or they feel like they have to protect themselves.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to understand your side and why you're standing up for yourself.
Right.
So if we can do that in a firm, calm, mm-hmm. clear, concise manner, and factual, then it's a conversation we can have about both sides, both points of view. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is figuring out what the best outcome is going to be for both of us. Mm-hmm. So if we can do that with having a conversation about it versus a fight or screaming or yelling or who can beat their chest more, I think that's what we got to do in the world today.
Oh, absolutely. So who was the most influential person in your life or career and why? And you can have more than one.
Definitely. Well, two answers. There's been a lot of women in my life that whether I worked with or friends, single moms, people that have just gone through so many things like health,
right,
death, family situations, these people that figure it out and they survive, they are huge influences to me. And I try to surround myself with these women in the industry. Mm-hmm. I try to surround myself with friends. I will say I am one of the luckiest people in the whole entire world because I have so many special relationships in the industry, outside the industry, my community, my neighbors, friendship. I went to 3 high schools and because I moved around so much and I still have these amazing people that are still in my life today. And just seeing their trials and tribulations and how they come through mm-hmm. with all of that, they're inspirational to me. And then the second answer was definitely my old VP of claims, Tony Scognamiglio. Lord knows I disagreed with him with a lot of stuff. We would fight a lot, but he really broke my mold. He challenged me. He made me think about what I truly wanted to stand for and really wanted to know my opinion. He didn't just do it with me. He did it with everybody.
Right.
He knew what everybody in the company's name was. It doesn't matter what position you're in. He knew each person's family. He would get out on the floor. He would talk to people. He would communicate with people. He would help people. He would really, even if he agreed with you, he'd act like he didn't and circle around the whole way and aggravate the living daylights out of you just to see if you would change your answer if you stood firm with what you believed in. And to this day, I think that that has made one of the biggest impacts of my life, how you treat people, and to help me build my confidence and my voice and knowing that I'm good at what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm here for a reason. I deserve to be here.
Right.
And I'm not going anywhere.
So he was a true leader, not a boss.
Yes.
There you go. All right. So what advice would you give women listening who want to move forward in their careers, no matter what industry it is?
So the very first thing, most important thing, figure out what gives you passion, because you can be good at anything, right?
You can.
But you may not be passionate about it. You may not like it. I was very good at what I did for a very long time. I was not passionate about it. Now I am passionate. I love recruiting. I love helping people. I love talking to people. I love going to conferences and meeting people that I've gotten jobs for. Mm-hmm. I love helping companies when they've been struggling and they need to find a purple unicorn. I absolutely love that. That's my passion. That's who Penelope Limerie is. That's what Malaika and I want to give back to the employees, to the companies. But if you don't know your passion, you're going to be distracted. So you have to put a destination in that GPS. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who you are, what you're passionate about, what you believe in, and what you want out of life, you're never going to get there. You're going to be going all over the place. If you truly know what energizes you, what you love, mm-hmm. what you want to do, then you can enter that in as your destination. And anything that doesn't get you there, you don't have time for. I would have gotten here a long time ago if I had just truly followed my passion and what I wanted to do. I came up with something to really digest and figure out what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And that was creating lists of every day. When I had my job at ASI, I was a national claims operations compliance administrator. It was the longest title. I basically wore multiple hats, and I had a hat rack standing at my desk.
Right.
So I was traveling all the time. I was launching. I was helping launch ASI with the product managers, the salespeople, the underwriters, with all the VIP agents into 45 different states for Progressive when Progressive was acquiring us. And there were certain things I realized that I did not enjoy on a daily basis, and things that really drained me. Mm-hmm. Then I also realized there were things that I really, really loved about doing this that energized me, that I got passionate about. My eyes would light up, and I would get really excited about my day. Like, I'd mm-hmm. be pumped to go into work or help launch a state. And I'd be really excited about it. And then other things that really, really drained me. So all of this went into my thought process of, what do I want to be? What do I want to do when I grow up? And it's going to be my, like, you know, 4 or 5 year plan, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know I wanted to be a recruiter. I just started writing things down. What energized me? What drained me? What parts of my job that I really liked? What parts that I didn't like. And so I knew whatever I wanted to do, it needed to be heavier 80-20, heavier on the energizing side versus the draining side.
Oh, yeah.
So those things are what really kind of directed me into starting a recruiting and consulting company.
That's
and
awesome.
It was all because I didn't know that's what I wanted to do. Now I look back, it was very clear. I've been getting people jobs for years. I just wasn't getting paid for it. And then Hartford taught me how to do behavioral interviewing, doing all these things. I started just naturally interviewing, hiring people. So even though it wasn't part of my job description and my corporate job, so to speak, that would be my job. And I would start running that area mm-hmm. of the company. and I'm working hand in hand with HR. So from somebody on the outside looking in, it was very clear that I would end up here starting my own company doing recruiting and consulting. But for me and for so many people in the industry, it's tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. If you're in a specific job, you just think that's the only job you can do. And that's not true. Getting somebody looking from the outside in, there's so many transferable skills. I mean, some of the best hires I've ever made did not come from the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. They came from outside the insurance industry. Stay-at-home moms, mm-hmm. People in completely different industries. And they had learnability. They had tenacity. They had a hunger mm-hmm. where you don't have to tell them what to do. They'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that have been most successful in this industry or any other industry because they're going to make it work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a few fun questions and you just answer off the top of your head. There's no right or wrong. So you've already answered one, what's your favorite hobby and pastime, but what is the best compliment you ever received, work or personal?
Oh, definitely how I make a person feel. Maya Angelou has that quote. Well, they won't remember what you say. They won't remember what you do, but they'll remember how you make them feel. Mm-hmm. And I've had certain people over the years say, thank you because you made me feel really good. You helped me with this. And to me, we're of service to people. So that's why we're here.
Okay. If you could be, in this case, maybe more of an office supply, but if you could be any kitchen or office supply, what would you be? Like if, based on what you do and how you are, like I know what I'd be.
An office supply?
Like if you were an office supply or a kitchen appliance, what would you be?
Oh, I would say a kitchen appliance. I would be a Keurig because that makes people brighter, happier when they're getting their stuff being fixed. I want to make the people
that was good. Oh, that was funny. I was not expecting that one. Okay, what is your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, easy. Rude, mean people. Hands down, I can't handle it. There is no need to be nasty, especially to a server or somebody that is working.
Oh, I agree.
Not handle bad manners.
Mm-mm, no, I mean, and
that shows me who you are. And I sometimes tell people, especially if they're hiring a position where they really want to see who that person is, take them out for a meal. Mm-hmm. You're going to see how they treat everybody, the hostess, the busboy, the server, whatever it is, mm-hmm. You're going to see their manners come out.
Oh, every time, every time. If you could instantly master any language, which language would it be?
Oh, I think Italian. I just love the culture. I love Italy. I already talk with my hands, so that's what I would love to do.
I love it. Okay, so what direction do you think the next leg of your journey will take you on? I know this has been going, you've started this in 17, but as this goes on, and you're still young, but where do you see it kind of going for you?
You know, Malika and I were just having this conversation. I think it's very important to have a strategic vision. Mm-hmm. And we're currently in the process of creating a lot more offerings, not just recruiting services, but HR consulting, BD services, outplacement services. If we can make things better and easier and really kind of make things a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to offer that. We're willing to do what we can to help the employees and help the companies. We want to be a safe space. So a natural progression is to offer more services. Mm-hmm. We're actually redesigning our website now. So there's going to be a lot of action and excitement in the future. And I think as long as we both stay true to our strategic vision, we're going to slowly but surely grow internationally. We're already national. We've placed as far as Hawaii.
Wow.
I've recently got back on a trip from Lloyd's of London and would love to help that industry and that market out as well.
Nice.
And it's just being slow and steady wins the race, and not forgetting where our roots come from, to where treat everybody with kindness, a safe space. And a bottom line is we're here to help everybody.
Right. I like that. And yeah, I could see it going in that direction. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. As we come to a close, is there anything else you'd like to say to anyone listening? If there was one takeaway, what would it be?
Yeah, I really think figuring out what your true passion is in life, what energizes you and what drains you. I didn't think I could start over at the age I was, and I continuously feel like I've started over throughout my career.
Mm-hmm.
Really find your passion. If you find your passion and what energizes you, you will be successful at it because it comes natural.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can truly figure out who you are, what you like to do, how you like to do it, and what your purpose is for your purpose-driven life.
Right.
That's going to take you down the right path. So that way you can put your destination into the GPS a lot earlier than I did in my life.
I love it. Well, Penelope, I cannot thank you enough. This has been a wonderful interview. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join me.
Well, I appreciate you, and thank you so much for doing this for our industry. I think it's super important, and it's really neat to hear everybody's stories because everybody has a different story.
Oh, yes. And everyone is unique, and everyone has been wonderful. It's very interesting. So I do thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Julie.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.